No, never. Adatti accepts. Kasyachit, anyone's. Papam, sin. Na, nor. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Sukritam, pious activities. Vibhu, the Supreme Lord. Agyanena, by ignorance. Avritam, covered. Jnanam, knowledge. Tena, by that. Muyanti, are bewildered. Jantava, the living entities. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Please repeat. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. The Sanskrit word vibhu means the Supreme Lord who is full of unlimited knowledge, riches, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation. He is always satisfied in himself, undisturbed by sinful or pious activities. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life, and thereby his chain of action and reaction begins. A living entity is, by superior nature, full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Lord is omnipotent, but the living entity is not. The Lord is vibhu, or omniscient, but the living entity is anu, or atomic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by the omnipotent Lord. And so when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires, but the Lord is never responsible for the actions and reactions of the particular situation which may be desired. Being in a bewildered condition, therefore, the embodied soul identifies himself with a circumstantial material body and becomes subjected to the temporary misery and happiness of life. The Lord is the constant companion of the living entity as Paramatma, or the Supersoul. And therefore, he can understand the desires of the individual soul, as one can smell the flavor of a flower by being near it. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. The Lord fulfills his desire as he deserves. Man proposes and God disposes. The individual is not, therefore, omnipotent in fulfilling his desires. The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires, and the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute, independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain to him and be eternally happy. The Vedic hymns therefore declare, Esha u yeva sadhu karma karayatitam yam ebhyo lokebhya uninishate. Esha u eva sadhu karma karayati yam adho ninishate. Means, the Lord engages the living entity in pious activities so that he may be elevated. The Lord engages him in impious activities so that he may go to hell. From the Kaushitaki Upanishad 3.8. Another quote. Agyo jantura nisho yam atmano sukadukkayo ishvaro prerito gachet svargam vas fabram evacha. The living entity is completely dependent in his distress and happiness. By the will of the Supreme, he can go to heaven or hell, as a cloud is driven by the air. Therefore, the embodied soul, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness, causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is constitutionally eternal, blissful, and cognizant, due to the littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of service to the Lord and is thus entrapped by nescience. And, under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. The Vedanta Sutras also confirm this. Vaishamya nai grinye nasapek shatvat tata hidarshayati. The Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, though he appears to. Nadatte kasya chit papam nacheva sukhitam vibhu agyane navitam gyanam tenamuyanti jantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we get some information about the nature of desire in this text, how essential desire is. Sometimes our desire, Srila Prabhupada says, causes our bewilderment, and the Lord is not responsible. So this is the meaning of a free will. We are like the Lord, yes? This is our... So Lord Chaitanya came to give us this philosophy, which is also in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 4. So we are like the Lord. This would be like in colloquial language, how we express this. We are one in quality with the Lord. We are like the Lord. We are godly. So if people say, you are God. So they mean you're godly. Some may be innocent. So you can correct in this way. Yes. You are godly. We are all godly. Like in the second chapter. The soul is amazing. Yes, some see him as amazing. Some see that. Others hear about him as amazing. So because part and parcel of the Lord. So like an insignificant bolt or nut in a huge machine become very significant. So also the living entity, when cooperating with the plan of the Lord, just see Srila Prabhupada, how significant. He has changed the lives of so many. So that's a soul cooperating fully. I couldn't think of better cooperation, right? With the plan of the Lord to bring all the souls back. And the purpose of this world is to bring the souls back to God. Yes? That's 50%. So, if one can be instrumental in this wonderful purpose, so he's cooperating very wonderfully and he's taking advantage of his faculty of a free will in the best possible way, which is then also liberating. When the free living entity uses this free will in a different way. Srila Prabhupada expresses it poetically. When he is bewildered by his desires, when his desire bewilder him. And that's a soft way of saying, taking advantage or misusing our free will. So then the Lord is not responsible also. We have been hearing about this in these texts that the embodied soul master of the city of his body does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of his action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. So it's one. It's information which comes back in the Bhagavad Gita. And how could we understand this? Like, say you're in a groove and then you just, like, if a, how do you say this, huh, in English? The game? The glass balls? The marbles. So once the marble is in a groove, it doesn't change direction. So if we are conditioned by a particular mode of nature, so then that is going to steer us in life. The modes are bringing the results. They bring the fruits of action. So we choose, however, in which mode we are, which mode we associate with. So if we could carefully be very mindful and conscious in our choices, so then in this way we can influence our life very significantly. So the whole message of the Nectar of Instruction, like the guidebook for the beginning devotee, is about this, about how we can live in the mode of goodness and then reap the result of such a wonderful choice, where there is a possibility to make distinction, where we will see clearly what we are doing. It's like living in the light, whereas the ignorance is compared with the darkness, and we won't be clear. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he makes some points, like the difference between individual, insignificant soul, but significant in a way that if we are like God, we have the faculties of God. The soul is very, very powerful. But still, relatively speaking, in comparison to the Lord, is insignificant. And to the extent the Lord empowers a living entity, the living entity becomes very significant, can become very significant. So, great souls also, like the Lord, are satisfied in themselves, Atmaram. So this is such a wonderful default position, if we could get to that position where we are satisfied. Just like in the sixth chapter, Krishna describing one can sit down in any place and be and enjoy life from within. So that is a very elevated state of consciousness, where we are not dependent on the circumstances. But generally speaking, the conditioned soul is very much the servant of the circumstances. But when we are Atmaram, when we can come to revive that state, our constitutional, in our constitutional position, we are even much more than satisfied in ourselves. We are blissful, as it's explained here. So we are full of knowledge, and we are well aware we are eternal, so we're not making these temporary plans. So when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, Srila Prabhupada writes, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires, even if it's these wrong kind of desires or unfortunate desires, let's say. The Lord is still allowing the living entity to fulfill those desires. As it was said, God, man proposes and God disposes. So this is the disclaimer. You're allowed to fulfill the desires when you deserve it. So, but probably if you can't do it straight away, so you're going to get a chance in another life. But what that means another birth. So desires, when not the appropriate ones, or the ones which don't give us reactions. So when we can avoid, when we can choose our desires, then we will not have to take another birth. Because the Lord, it said, is fulfilling our desires. Maybe we are not quite ready now, not enough bank balance to get the fulfillment of our desires, but we may get the fulfillment in another life, just like the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, stepmother. So, Dhruva himself. He had this desire at one point in his life, and he wanted to forget about it. Remember, he had this strong desire, I want a kingdom greater than that of my great-grandfather. When he saw the Lord, he said, oh, that's all right now. I don't need that anymore. But he got it anyway. So 36,000 years, I believe. So that was a big delay in going back home, back to Godhead. So it's quite a lesson. So that desire is just so decisive for our life. Whatever we desire, that's going to be the course of our life. So here we are to change desire, to go from unfortunate desires to the most fortunate desires, to try to choose those desires which give pleasure to Guru and Krishna. Make the desires of Lord our desire. Yes? Ambarish Maharaj, yes? His desires he used to fulfill the desires of the Lord. If we are full of desires, is the nature of the soul. And this is Krishna consciousness. So becoming very conscious of our desires and direct them properly. And then our life becomes sublime, like Srila Prabhupada says. Chanta Krishna, and your life will be sublime. So Satchidananda Swami was explaining, this is a whole art, a whole science, how to chant Hare Krishna, that we must perfect. Because the whole thing is about chanting with the right attitude, that means with the right desires. Not for exploitation, but for service. It boils down to this difference. So either we are me in the center, so that how I will be pleased, that's a very important question. So how Krishna will be pleased, that's the anxiety of the gopis and of all the great devotees. So we are now in the process of trying to change that, to turn off that switch. It's going on in the mind. We become mindful, we become conscious, and then the next step is to become Krishna conscious. So when we are aware that, wow, this is not good, these desires, they are going to bring me, as it said here, to hell even. Srila Prabhupada is quite strong. He's quoting from Kaushitaki Upanishad and from another scripture. So that the Lord fulfills desires so he can be elevated, and the Lord fulfills so he can go to hell. Completely dependent in his distress and happiness. You see, even we want to become happy or we want to become distressed. I mean, it depends on the Lord. We don't have the power to become happy by ourselves. So it's quite powerful information that we're getting here. The Lord can, also this good news, as soon as we have some slight desire even to get to Him, to the Lord, we want to use our desires to get to Krishna. So then, what does He do? Immediately, He's helping such a soul. Like, you remember the bhajan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? So as soon as Lord Nityananda sees the seriousness, how? As soon as Lord Indian sees a tear welling in some practitioner's eye, immediately gives all support to that soul. A tear as a sign of sincerity, seriousness. Remember the prayer of Satchidananda Swami? He says a few times, my dear Lord, for so many lifetimes I've forgotten you, and now please accept me as your sincere and serious servitor. So by saying it, you may start thinking it. Also, by thinking it, yeah. So it's good. That's the essence of Krishna consciousness, to convince the Lord about, I'm a serious candidate. Kindly employ me in the spiritual world. Kindly take me to you. As soon as Lord is convinced, He will. But then, that's the whole test of this practice. We are in training and in a boot camp, there are heavy tests, paracommando. So when we have convinced the Lord by taking all the tests, so then you enter the spiritual world. So thank you very much for listening. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. From this text, you understand there is no free will. No, yeah. Yeah, so we can desire, like this saying, this English saying, God, man proposes and God disposes. So, like there's another beautiful verse, yeah? You have a right to perform your duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of actions. Eh? Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. And never be attached to not doing your duty. Yes, you have a right to desire. That's the function. I mean, that's our whole existence is desire, desire, desire. And like, I desire to scratch my my head, and then at one point I can't lift. It's because the Paramatma didn't give the sanction. Yes, he didn't tell the demigods, "Hey, move his arm. He has this desire." Yes, so the communication was broken. So for some reason. So we can't do it unless it's sanctioned, yes? Super Soul has to sanction all our desires. And usually he grants it, so merciful. But we see, sometimes everybody wants to walk, and isn't it? But sometimes somebody gets paralyzed. So everybody wants to see somebody, somebody gets blind. So we can desire, but not for sure that our desire will be fulfilled, because if we don't deserve it, for instance, it won't be. But we have the free will. We have a free will. But it all has to be sanctioned by the Lord. But he's sanctioning so many of us. But sometimes there is a delay, let's say. Okay, this lifetime you can't see anymore. Imagine such a... we've been sinful. But then you will see eventually, but it may take longer. You will be born again. And maybe you will see in that next birth. Does it make sense? A little, somehow. Are there any other points? Yes, Pippa? Speak loud. Oh, Arjuna has this problem. You know. He's a military man, and there is a war. And but his family members are there. So then, no! I can't do this. I will incur sin. It's not going to give good results for the society, for the world. So then, a whole philosophical discussion ensues, and it's for to teach the world. So we are addressed. We are Arjuna. Well, of course, this is a long story. He had explained akarma, vikarma, and karma. And when you act according to the desire of the Lord, so then Krishna takes responsibility. Just like even in killing a cauliflower, which we do regularly here in the temple. So there is a reaction for the violence committed to the cauliflower. You behead, chop off the head of a cauliflower and say, very sinful. But because he said, if you offer with love and devotion a fruit, a leaf, so then I will accept it. So if Lord accepts, so he takes responsibility. And in the same way, when we obey an order of the Lord or of the representative of the Lord, the Guru, so then we don't incur sin. That's called akarma activities, which free us from the reactions, from the entanglement in the world. It's very nice that you have this question, and probably you would like to hear more. Now, time does not allow, but if you don't have a copy yet, I'm sure Bhakti Adam could sell you one. We have a temple room, and a book room, and it's very interesting, and it takes a life to study. One lifetime or more. Thank you very much. So let me make sure I understood you correctly. Are you saying that sometimes we have a spiritual desire and somehow we can't carry it out? Is it that Krishna is not... Yes, like sometimes Krishna wants us desire to increase even more. Wow, it's such a heavy thing. He said to such an elevated devotee, do you remember that? Dear Narada, for in this lifetime you won't see me again. When you're just seeing the Lord, which is such a pleasant experience, such an ecstatic experience, and then you get to hear such a thing. And that's explained by the Acharyas, that, yeah, to increase the desire of Narada Muni for darshan of the Lord. Yeah. Don't know whether this is your case also, but we must be very determined, yes, in spiritual life. It's time for, yes? Sure. Just and then you can ask the last question. I think we have to, but you can ask me after the class. But this reminds me of a wonderful thing that when Prabhu gave this example, like also when we are chanting, yes, it's a request also, yes, but just like a baby in the cradle, and is crying, yes, we are supposed to cry, yes, for the mercy, and then babies sometimes cry. You know, they cry in different ways, yes. Mama. And then when they cry in a certain way, so mama comes and gives a toy and finished crying, or a piece of chocolate. So we also chant like that sometimes. Life is not as I would like it to be. And then you get something and your life is nice. And But then you don't have the mama, you don't have Krishna. That's actually the thing which the child is, a constant association. So that was a wonderful comparison that, like, Krishna is seeing, what is he crying for? What is she crying for? Is it chocolate or she want me? So, you see, thank you for these contributions. I wanted to ask something. Or, I was wondering if you had your hand up or not. Okay. So, thank you very much. It's time for bhajans. Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.